You turn with me, please, to the book of Proverbs in chapter 11. The book of Proverbs in chapter 11. And as the Lord would help us this morning, we might consider together verse 28. Proverbs 11 and verse 28. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. We have here in this text a contrast given to us. There are two types of people, and we might think of them almost in terms pictured like two bushes. One is dead and one is flourishing. Now that might not be the way it might look outwardly if you just saw these people in certain ways, but that's the reality. On the one hand, you have the what we might call the materialistic man. He is one who is trusting in his riches. And you'll notice that his problem is not that he has riches. His problem is that he trusts in his riches. We have to remember that the scriptures never condemn people for being rich. When we read of the likes of Job or Abraham, we discover that they were people who were, in their own day, rich and influential. That wasn't their problem. They were faithful people. The trouble is that there are those who trust in their riches. So he's talking about the person who's materialistic and his focus is on things and especially on what he has. And then you've got the righteous man. The righteous shall flourish as a branch. He is one who is trusting in God, and he is commended, and we're told that he is someone who flourishes. And I suppose the question for us today, and it's something that applies to all of us, is this: where really do we find our hopes? And where are we relying? Let's look then at this contrast. These two people that are here, the materialistic man, and then we shall consider the righteous man. First of all, the materialistic man. And as you look at the materialistic man, the one who is trusting in riches, the first thing for us to realize is that this person is common. It's a very common thing to find someone who trusts in his riches. Now, many think that this doesn't apply to them. They might say, well, I actually don't have many possessions. I don't really have that much, and I'm not fixated with what I have. But although many people don't think of themselves as being materialistic, the reality is that it's much more common than we realize. That's especially true for those who don't have much. And that comes out in various ways. What desires do you have for your family? If I was to ask you, what hopes do you have for your family? How would you respond? And if you don't respond with the salvation of their soul, it's betraying that there's something not quite right. It's not the first thing you're thinking of. How often it's a case of, well, that they're well, they get on well, they get a good job in life, that they do well. Are they the desires we have for ourselves? The desires we have for our family? There's nothing wrong with our family getting on well, or ourselves getting on well and having a nice job and all that we need. But at the end of the day, if first and foremost it's not the spiritual things and the health of their soul, it's betraying a materialistic outlook. And we have to repent of these things. You see the evidence of materialism and people's love of the lottery. It's a sad fact that in poorer areas of our town, you'll find there are many more bookies, betting shops. And it's there you'll find people queuing up to get a lottery ticket. What's that betraying? They think that somehow money is the way out of their problems. Or you see it in the fact that so often people are dissatisfied with what they have. And they envy others that they have what they don't have. Are you envious as you pass by some of the more affluent areas in our towns and cities? Jealous even. You know, there can be an inverted snobbery. We think of those who might be rich who are snobs. There's an inverted snobbery where those who have less despise and want to drag down those who are better off than themselves. Do you feel important because you have certain things? Or would you feel important if you had certain things? Isn't that the way we all are? This is a problem that actually, if we're honest, in small ways affects us all. We're so prone to be materialistic in our outlook. And of course, there's also that tendency to feel that somehow our wealth would bring security. Here's this man, and he trusteth in riches. And as Solomon puts it in chapter 18 of Proverbs at verse 11, that the rich, he says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. They find their security in God. But the rich man's wealth, that's his strong tower. And how often that's what people think, that they will, it will help them overcome their problems. It will help them have a bit of comfort and security. It will bring happiness. It will enable us to do what we want, what we dream of. You think of the rich fool that we read of in Luke chapter 12. And there he is. Bumper harvests are coming in from his fields. He's going to pull down his barns. He'll build bigger barns. He'll be able to admire what he has. He'll take it easy. He'll say, I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. Or you think of the prodigal son asking for the inheritance. He leaves home and he's going to enjoy himself. If only I had one of these, I'd be happy with this. If only I could do that, I'd be happy with it. Friends, isn't it true? The materialistic man is common. And indeed, there's a good bit of it in all our hearts that we have to watch against. But you'll notice that this person is foolish. This person is foolish. We read that he that trusteth in his riches shall fall. The person who is a proneness to trust in his riches, he's not only common, he's being foolish. Why? Well, one reason is that riches are uncertain. They're unreliable. We can easily lose them. And they are soon gone. They take wings, it says in chapter 23 at verse 5 of Proverbs, and they fly away. How often that can be the case? Lay not up for yourself treasure in earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. lay up treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, where there are no thieves. That's what the Lord said. You see, there's no guarantee these things will last. Now, often in history, you find there were those who were rich, who lost everything. There's no lasting security. You think of the prodigal son who has got his inheritance and he wanders off to the city and he's going to enjoy himself, and no doubt he thought things are going to go from better to better, and he ends up having nothing. And he's a swineherd, he's feeding the pigs, he's in the lowest of jobs, and he wished he could even eat the food that he was giving to those pigs. It's uncertain. It's foolish to be like that. You notice they're also fleeting. Even what we have will soon leave behind. Didn't Job put it this way? Naked came I into this world, and naked shall I go thither. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, we're so foolish. Because soon we're going to lose whatever we had. Like the man we sang of in Psalm 49. He names his lands after him. Big deal. Soon he's gone. And soon people have forgotten who he is. And what does it all matter? It's so foolish. They don't help in life. It doesn't help in death. It doesn't help in judgment. This person is a fool. And isn't it the reality that so often riches disappoint? In so many situations, they let people down. So it's like trusting a bit on a stick. And there you are, you're leaning on the stick, and the stick ends up breaking, and you end up, it pierces your hand, and it damages you rather than helping you. It doesn't bring peace and joy and happiness. Perhaps this last year and a half has sort of began to teach us as a people that certain things aren't the be-all and end-all of life. People are aware of their health and the value of family. And, well, you think of riches. When health breaks, it doesn't really help. When family problems comes, it doesn't help. When bereavement comes, what comfort is there in these things? And friends, isn't it the reality that our primary purpose in life, man's chief end, is to glorify God and enjoy him forever? And unless we are oriented with our life around God and find our satisfaction in him, it won't work. This person, and constantly through the book of Proverbs, it's been made clear, this person is a fool. But notice another thing. This person is ungodly. He's ungodly. Why? Because he's trusting in his riches. And his confidence is misplaced. He's looking at outward blessings of what he has. Life might be good. He might be doing well. He might have a lot of good things. And these things in many ways can be blessings to us. As we said at the beginning, there is nothing wrong with wealth. Job and Abraham were rich. But the problem is, he's looking at the blessings and not the blesser. And he's trusting in the blessings and not in the giving of the blessings. And what he is doing is, as Paul puts it in 1 Timothy 6:17, he is trusting in uncertain riches rather than in the living God, who gives to all men liberally, generously, and upbraids not. He kindly and generously gives. He gives to all. He may have given some more to you than to others. But there's the problem. This man, he's trusting in other things rather than the giver of the blessings. In other words, this man is an idolater. What's the first commandment? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And he has another God before the Lord. He's not putting God first in his life. He's not seeing that God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. He is trusting in the blessings rather than in the blesser, the giver of the blessing. And so he has another God before the only living and true God. And what's he doing? He is robbing God of his honor and his glory as the one who is the fountain and the source of all good, the source of all blessing. Whenever you fail to give God the honor as the source of the blessings you enjoy and draw your comfort or security from those things that you have, or your desire is to have those things, to have comfort and security, you're robbing God. And friend, that's serious. It is most sinful and most wicked. It is ungodly behavior. It's idolatry. And so notice, this person is condemned. We read in verse 28, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall. Shall fall. And perhaps what is being suggested here is he will fall like a leaf. You think of a plant. And you see the leaf getting a bit wizened or beginning to drop off. That's what this person's like. He's like a dead leaf that's dropped off. He is one who is and is going to be condemned. He is, as in the words of Jeremiah, slightly different, but at the end of the day, it's the same sort of thing. It's a failure to trust God. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh, that's of ourself and of the things to do with ourself. He makes flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. He shall be like the heath in the desert. The bit of the scrubby bush in the desert shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit parched places in the wilderness, in a sand land not inhabited. That's the reality, friends. Let us see the danger of trusting in our riches. If you're a believer, you're going wrong and it's harming you spiritually. If you don't know Christ yet, well, the danger is of being completely condemned. It will keep you from the kingdom of God and lead to hell forever. You'll notice, secondly, there's a description of the righteous man. Let's notice this description. What a contrast. Oh, that this is each one of us, and we might become more and more like this person. Worried of the righteous shall flourish as a branch. The righteous shall flourish as a branch. What can we say about this person? Well, we can say, first of all, that he's God-centered. He's God-centered. That word righteous or righteousness speaks of straightness according to a ruler. You think of how you use a ruler to draw a straight line? Well, there is righteousness, is straightness, and the idea of is that it is according to the standard, according to the rule, the straight line that God has given for us to live by. Righteousness speaks of conformity to the rule of God, or the law of God, the commandments of God. So here's this man. He is living in reference to God. He is righteous. He hasn't got other gods before God. God's at the center of his life. He's God-centered. He is like God, the one who is truly righteous. Now, what does that mean in practice? Well, it means that this person is someone who, first of all, trusts in Christ to deal with his sin. He's not perfect. He knows he's a sinner. Indeed, he knows that often he ends up trusting in other things rather than God. And he's continually fighting against that tendency because he knows it's foolish, it's wrong, and his hope is to trust only in God and rely on him for everything. But he knows he's a sinner. And that he's condemned by the text before us. He's aware he's not righteous in himself. If you ask him, well, do you live a life that's according to the rule? Is it straight? He'll say, no. It's been very crooked. There's been many deviations from the commands of God. There's no goodness in me. And indeed, this person has said, all the good things that I have tried to do, I count them as dung. Who I am and what I've done, it's only fit for the rubbish heap. And I am trusting in Christ and what he did on the cross to not only cleanse me from my sin, but also his obedience, his keeping of the law. That's what I rely on. That when I would stand before the judgment seat of God, God would look upon me not as I am as a sinner, but look upon me as I trust in Christ and as all the perfect keeping of the commands of God, of Christ, is mine. And he accepts me for his sake. Is that you, friend? If you're a believer, you're righteous. With the righteousness of Christ and accepted by God through Christ. You are, as the theologians would say, justified by or through faith because of what Christ has done. And so you hate sin. You turn away from sin. Your desire is for holiness. Your desire is to please God. Your desire is to be righteous. You want in your own life to be righteous, to live according to the standard of God. And you know that God's the source of all blessing. You know he's the fountain of every blessing. You're not trusting in your riches. You're trusting in God, the living God, who gives to all liberally, generously. And you know that your chief end in life is to glorify God. And that's what you long to do. Well, ask yourself the question today. Am I God-centered? Am I God-centered? Is my desire after righteousness? Is my desire to please God? Now, we're not saying that you're perfect. But the thing is that none are truly trusting in Christ. None are justified through faith and accepted by God, who are not in a measure God-centered in their life, who grieve the fact that they grieve over the fact that they're not more God-centered. But they long to become more and more God-centered. Indeed, they know one day they're going to be made perfect, and they long for that day. Well, are you righteous? Are you God-centered? What do we read about this person? where we read that he, but the righteous, shall flourish as a branch. He shall flourish as a branch. What's the picture? It's a picture of a branch or a shoot of some bush or a plant that's budding and blossoming. It's the picture of a bush or a tree that is in health and vigor. He's flourishing. In other words, he's satisfied. That's one thing. If you think of a bush, and I suppose we've seen that over the summer, it's been so dry. There are certain bushes or plants, perhaps, that you've had in your garden that perhaps have been struggling because of the lack of rain. Sometimes the struggle can be because of a lack of nourishment in the soil. But whether it's a lack of rain or lack of nourishment in the soil, the reality is, in both these situations, you're going to have a plant that obviously is not flourishing. You think of the dry seasons in Israel, big problems. Plants could easily just be shriveled up, and you might have seen that with some plants in perhaps tubs that haven't been watered enough. They're just struggling. That's the picture. You need nourishment. This person, he's flourishing. Why? Because he's receiving plenty of nourishment. And the reality is, this person is satisfied in God. He knows the peace of God. He's got peace of conscience and peace with God. And he knows the presence of God. And he's got hope for his life. The hope of God being with him now and the hope of the glory of heaven to come. And he finds a satisfaction in God. So yes, trials come in life. Difficulties come in life. He's not immune from these things. You have all sorts of problems and anxieties and worries. But if you are looking to God, you'll find a peace in the middle of it all. To know that God is with you. To know that you have peace with God through Jesus Christ. And to know that God is in control, and that he has said, and he means it, that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose, the satisfaction. This righteous man, he might not have much, he might have lost what he has, but he's satisfied. He's flourishing. Another thing, he's fruitful. Flourishing. That also gives the idea of this plant that is blossoming. In other words, it's fruitful. He's the opposite of this bush where the leaves are just falling off and there's going to be no flowers, there'll be no fruit coming from it. In other words, here's someone who's made a blessing to others. Here's someone who, he has things, but he doesn't keep it all for himself. We read in verse 24, there is that scatters and yet increases. There is that withholdeth more than is meet or fit, but it tendeth to poverty. You get some people, and are tight-fisted. They will never share anything with you. They're frightened that if they give, they won't have enough for themselves. They withhold more than is fit, and it tends to poverty. There's a person who's so generous, but he increases. The liberal soul, the generous soul, shall be made fat. He that waters shall be watered also himself. Now think of it. In the Middle East, water's so precious. You don't want to share out that water to others, but no. This man who is watering is watered himself. So, you find he's actually made a blessing to others. What he has, he uses also for others. He doesn't keep for himself. But more than that, he's flourishing in his own soul. He's becoming spiritually fruitful. He's becoming more and more holy. He knows God. He's becoming more like Christ and more pleasing to God. It's not that that saves him. Of course it doesn't. But he is that holiness that accompanies salvation. This holiness that makes him more like Christ. And then notice he's also living. He's flourishing. That speaks of life. Well, the person who's a true believer, who trusts in the Lord, has life now. Because he is connected with God, who is the source of all life. And he's got a life that's lasting. The Bible speaks of eternal life. Everlasting life. What does that mean? It means a life that will never end. And a person who is righteous, who is God-centered, who is trusting in Christ, is a person that God has breathed life into their soul, and they draw from the resources of Christ, and they have a life that will never end. They live now. And yes, they're going to die physically one day, but their soul shall continue, their body shall rise again, and they have the hope of heaven, and the hope of eternal life. They have eternal life which has begun now, but it's going to be perfected in heaven. And there's the contrast between this man who's flourishing. And he's going to keep on flourishing forever. Unlike the one who trusts in riches, who falls. The deadness and the death of those who are looking away from the source of life to themselves. So here's Solomon, and he's giving us wise advice. And he's telling us, here's a great danger that we're all prone to, of trusting in things and finding our security in things rather than in God. And he reminds us that our only security is to be found in being righteous. And that being righteous means trusting in Christ. That's where it begins. That we might be acceptable with God and righteous in his sight. And going on, trusting in the living God rather than in things or ourselves. Let us not be like the materialistic man. He dishonors God. He needs to repent, because otherwise, if he doesn't turn away from that sin and begin to trust in the Lord, he's going to end up in a lost eternity of hell and judged by God as one who has robbed him of his glory. If that's you, that's what you need to do today. Make sure that you are righteous. And keep close to Christ, that you might become more and more righteous and live a life pleasing to God. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall. The righteous shall flourish as a branch. Let us pray. Our Lord and God, grant us thy blessing. May we know what it is to look away from what we have to thee, the giver of what we have. Make us holy. Make us righteous. Keep us from the folly of trusting in things, but not in thee. O Lord, bless thy truth to us, and grant that thou wouldst be with us through the day. Help us to honour thee today, for Jesus' sake. Amen.